Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Dan Menigan's in today, 216-474-0092. It is a game day for your Cleveland Browns, a game you'll be able to hear right here on 92.3 The Fan as they take on Carolina. We've got all your pregame, postgame, whatever you need. But the other big story, and I think it's gigantic, and it's the way they've been playing. They've been playing great. It's the Guardians. Tonight, they are in Chicago. I mean, talk about a chance to make some hay when you're six games back in the Central. Can't even believe I'm talking about the Central. You're a game and a half back in the wild card to try to get back in this thing. And a month ago, it felt like it was all over. They start tonight at 7:40. Let's get some insight onto what's going on with the Gardos. And we talked to our good friend, Chris Ostenheimer. You know him and you love him and you read him in the paper every day because he is a great read. And he is on the Fan Hotline. Hi, Chris. How are you?
What's happening, man?
Guys, how's it going?
How you feeling? I know you're a little under the weather there.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm back on my feet.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we got to make sure that you were reading me in the Chronicle Telegram.
I'm like Kwani. You know,
you're back.
He dealt with the wrist and everything, and he's overcome it. And that's, you know, being the same type of true warrior, have overcome this.
Yeah. What if they would have traded you over to the News Herald full time? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I think it would have been devastating for the clubhouse over there at the Chronicle Telegram. True?
Oh, I don't even. They probably would have just shut down.
All right, give me your read on the team right now, because I'm telling you, this is fun. This is fun, because we sit here, we talk, oh, they play 162, they play 162, and when they were 15 and a half out, we were like, oh, this season sucks, this is brutal, I can't believe it. And now they've made things very exciting.
No, yeah, they have, and guess who looks like a genius? And he didn't look like that during the 10-game losing streak, but Stephen Vogt. I mean, during the slide, and I understand what else is he going to say, but he kept saying, you know, this is the lineup. I believe in these guys. They're going to take us where we need to go. Very confident. And again, I understand why he had to say that, but I think that did something for the guys in the clubhouse too. You know, it wasn't like, oh, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. He maintained that they were still playing good baseball. They just weren't getting big hits. And so he stuck with these guys. They didn't add anybody. They kept Kwan. And I think these guys are playing with a lot of confidence, and I think they really got motivation from their manager, you know, sticking behind him and saying, hey, we're not going to start sending guys down, trading guys, DFAing guys, and stuff like that. And I think that's been a big part of it. And also the Tigers not playing well at all, that's another part, but that aside, I mean, it's been a remarkable turnaround, to say the least, and I think Stephen Vogt deserves a lot of credit for it.
The funny part too, Chris, is, you know, much as nobody likes to talk about any of this stuff when it comes to baseball, some of this is just luck. Like, some of it is just a ball bouncing the right way. I mean, David Fry bunted a ball in the air. It was a really bad bunt in that extra inning game, and it bounced, and the Mets threw it away. And it's like, okay, that you got a bounce going in the right direction. How much of that do you think was maybe even playing to this day? Hey, during that 10-game skid, you just ran into some bad luck. And now things are turning.
I think that's a lot of it. And listen, I mean, you still look at that lineup, and it's not scaring anyone. I understand that. But they're starting pitching. I mean, I'll take that. I mean, it top two for sure. And – you know, hopefully Bybee can find some consistency down the stretch. But yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, they weren't getting the big hit. They weren't getting the breaks. They were playing terrible defense, and that wasn't helping for sure. But yeah, I think that it's, as they say all the time, you know, it's baseball.
All right. They decide not to make a move with Kwan at the break. And I know you've been in that clubhouse time and time again after the trade deadline. And you know psychologically what that can do. And you're coming off of two pitchers getting, you know, investigated for gambling allegations. I can't think of anything worse than that. And then they didn't make a move, and they kept a guy. And everything went in the right direction. It like when they write the story of no matter how the season ends, that is going to be a major plot line. Just Walk me out. Is it Vogt or is it the fact that the front office said, we're going to hang on to Kwan because we think you're playing better now and we're going to try to maintain this and well, you guys can still go for this. We're not going to take that away from you.
I think that is the biggest reason this is happening. I mean, yes, Stephen Vogt, it's all goes back to that, the confidence. Like they weren't just cut. If they would have gotten rid of Kwan, I mean, what does that tell you? You know, okay, I guess we're playing for the next year, if not the next one after that. But I think that you know, again, it just motivates players when someone's out there believing in them. And you can say it all you want, but you're right. They actually they walked the walk and said, no, we're not getting rid of this guy. We believe in this group, and this is what you get, you know. And I think the schedule obviously has a lot to do with it, but still, you know, I mean, you're playing baseball. Anybody can win any night, unless it's against the Rockies or the White Sox. But anyway, I think all of that goes back to just these, you know, someone's out there saying, hey, man, these guys can play. So criticize them all you want, but they're going to take us there, and Vogt almost has them there.
Chris Ossenheimer joining us. Chronicle Telegram is where you can read him on the fan hotline. The weird thing, though, and I got to give Andy credit for this one because he was the one who pointed this one out. On Wednesday, they only played like 9 guys in a lineup and weren't actually like switching and platooning everything. Is that just a coincidence or has maybe something changed that they've realized they actually need to let these guys get consistent at bats?
Well, I don't think anything's changed. I think that was just a coincidence because as Stephen Vogt continues to say, this is what we do. We play everybody. So I don't think there's a change in philosophy there. But listen, if he gets 9 guys who are at least holding their own, then it makes no sense to change anyway. I mean, I think he's gotten to a point where he's going to play Kyle Manzardo every night or at least close to that, which is a great thing. But then you got a guy like David Fry who looks like he might be finding a little something. So I think they're still going to go with the everyday, you know, I mean, he said it less than a week ago. We got 2 everyday guys. That's Kwan and Jose. So, I mean, I think this is the philosophy that he's instilled. Like this is we play everybody, and this is how we get it done. So I don't think there's going to be you're going to see the same lineup moving forward, unless they're all, like I said, if they're hitting and they're not a liability in that lineup, then they're still certainly they're going to be out there.
Are the Tigers on your radar? Because I had a month ago they were not. And now that you're only 6 games back, I still don't – 6 games is still a lot of games. But you do have Detroit, what, coming up in September? 6 times? So you still play them 6 times. Should they be on the radar?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm just making sure. I just 6 no, games no, seems yeah. – but you know, I mean, as well as I do, man, you can look at 6 games today on August 8th, sure. And you'll be like, oh, 6 games, that seems really doable. But then you realize you either have to beat them straight up or pray that you win and they lose on any given night.
Right. But, I mean, look at what they – what look. I mean, they were 15.5 game lead. And, you know, it's trimmed down to this. So it's like, why can't this happen? And you're looking at the way that both teams are playing. You know, Detroit's struggling, and you know they're questioning themselves now. And the Guardians are the best team in the American League, and they're confident, you know, so that's working for you as well. And I got to tell you, listen, what they've done has been great the last 2 years. But, I mean, the Tigers lineup, it really doesn't scare me at all. And I know they had 3 all-star starters. I get that. Torkelson, Riley Green, that's great. But, like, you look at that lineup, and I don't know. That doesn't scare me. Kwan and Hosey are better than anybody in that lineup. So, I don't know. And even if they don't, at least, like, think about what this is going to – you know, Detroit's going to remember this, regardless of if they win the division. It's not going to feel the same way as it would have if they would have won by 10 games.
Hunter Gaddis making you scared at all when he starts coming in there, Ossie, because every time he steps up, I'm always kind of like, okay, here, we'll see what happens on this one. And that's a dude who last year was just nails. And, you know, maybe it's just bullpens are fickle.
Yeah, well, I think that might be a little bit something. Look at Tim Herron. I mean, he was a huge part of that bullpen last year, and now he's in AAA. But Gaddy, you're right. I mean, it hasn't been the same season, which I guess you can't ask him to duplicate what he did last year because that was lights-out stuff. But, you know, you saw it in the postseason. He struggled a bit there, you know, against the Yankees. I can't remember what he did against Detroit, but I know he gave up a couple bombs, I think, in the ALCS. I don't know. I think it's not like there's nothing noticeable about what he's doing outside of he's getting hit and putting guys on base a little bit more than he did last year.
This was a fun exercise we did yesterday, Chris. Name the three starters you would use in a playoff series.
Gavin Williams, Ciccone, and Bibee. I mean, I think that's it. I mean, I don't think there's any question about any of those guys. Bibee, obviously, for the experience. Gavin Williams, because he's probably the best pitcher among the three. And Slade Ciccone, just because he's been so consistent once he found that early groove. And Logan Allen doesn't come into play. And now that Bieber's gone, he's not a factor. So, yeah, those three I would assume would be my starters.
Credit where credit's due on Logan Allen, though, man, because
sure.
I initially saw him and thought, oh, here's the next Josh Tomlin. Okay, this will be fun. He'll be a fifth starter. He'll eat some innings. Man, there's more in there than what we had with Josh Tomlin. So, you know, hats off to him.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. His problem always has been nitpicking and walking guys and then having to come over the heart of the plate. And, you know what happens when that happens. But, yeah, I agree with what your assessment. I mean, I didn't think he, you know, after watching him, we had enough of a look at him where you could say you can at least make an early opinion on that. And it did look like he was going to be an average pitcher that just – doesn't throw hard, soft toss and lefty, who's giving up runs. If you don't throw strikes, I mean, he's going to give up runs, and he's going to give up home runs. But at least when you're not walking guys, there's not guys on base. So, but a great season for him as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. I don't think you asked this question, so I want to make sure I didn't step on you. But just Clase Ortiz.
I was going to ask the same question, okay, except mine was going to be obligatory suspended pitcher question.
No, mine was actually not the obligatory. Mine was locker cleaned out, nameplate gone. How much are they hated by the front office right now? Because we've seen guys like that will have their locker up there forever as long as there's a glimmer of hope that they could come back at some point. And with these guys, I mean, nameplate gone. Makes me think that not only are you gone, but the front office is completely steamed, and they should be, let's be honest.
For sure. I think that's either they have gotten word through MLB that these guys aren't going to be coming back, just so you know, so prepare for that if you do make the postseason. And, yeah, of course the front office and the manager, and I think the other part of it is the players in there. I'm sure, you know, I don't know that this happened. I don't know who ultimately makes that decision, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of those players, namely Austin Hedges, went to the manager and said, hey man, get this out of here. This is bad vibe. We don't need this in here. And, you know, just to forget about them, put them in the rearview mirror because it's likely they're not coming back this year. So
it almost reminds me of the Mrs. Phelps puzzle piece in the movie Major League. Like it sucks that you lose a closer of how good he is, but the way they lost him almost becomes a motivator for the rest of that team, doesn't it?
For sure.
Yeah.
All of that leads in, you know, I mean, and gosh, just, I mean, we're talking about this team now, but what a blow. We didn't even talk about the fact that they were probably going to trade Clase.
Yeah.
And geez, you know, we could be looking at three like mega prospects on our radar in the next couple of years, but instead, no. So yeah, he's cost. I mean, you know what? Because he's so good, if he somehow came through this, which I don't think he's going to at all.
Right.
I don't even know if he'll ever pitch again, to tell you the truth. I don't think he will. I really don't. Seems like they have a lot more evidence on him than they do Luis Ortiz. I'm not saying Luis Ortiz isn't guilty as well, but, I mean, they have like 11 or 12 pitches on Class A. All of this is a motivating thing. And then the talk that they've heard all season long, how their lineup stinks, and they're not doing anything. They didn't do anything after the ALCS. And you can still knock them for that. I get that. But no one, when they were in that 10-game losing streak, no one thought this was going to happen. They thought season over, that's it. The votes riding with these guys and the old ride or die, well, he's going to die because these guys are not good. And they changed they turned the tables.
They changed the narrative, my friend. And as you know, you're always a great read.
That's what I was going for.
Yep.
See, and once again, this is why AB's a pro and I'm an amateur. He had a real question, and I just wrote obligatory suspended pitcher
question. Listen, Dan, you just need to know one thing. When it comes to the Guardians, or before when it was the Indians, there is no better read. He is a great read. Even if you don't read the column, he is still a great read all the time. He is Chris Sossenheimer.
I think you dropped 5 great reads there, Dan.
Do I let him in on the inside joke or no? Without naming names?
Go ahead.
All right. So, Chris, I'll make sure this right. So, Chris was a regular on a TV show here in town every once in a while. Fair? Right? So far, so good? And somebody used to, did they always introduce you as a great read? And you knew they never read the column, right?
Yes. I should have been like, yeah, how do you know? It's all right, man.
Everybody's now in. You've been on with me for 13 years with us on the show, and I say you're a great read every time, and no one ever probably knew why. It was just like, oh, he must be a really good read. Now you're all in on the inside joke.
We got Zach Meisel. He says that to me every time that he hears me or knows that I'm going on. He's like, I hear you're a great read. So, yeah.
Does he know the background of the story or no?
No, okay. He just knows you say that all the time.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Oh, no.
All right, hey, have a great weekend, my friend. It should be fun for this team, and I hope you get to cover them for into the postseason, and we're talking about them all the time. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, dude. Talk soon.